Well, I don't know how all your preparations are going. Just 2 weeks to go until Christmas. Some of you look pretty relaxed. You've got everything under control. My wife likes to remind me that it's pretty easy for me to be relaxed compared to her. And I'm sure she's right, but I still feel that pressure, don't you? To find and come up with the perfect presents. Giving someone just the right gift is such a challenge, isn't it? Three wealthy sons faced exactly that dilemma as to what to get their elderly mother as a Christmas present. The first son gave her a new house. The second gave a new car. But the third said to his brothers, "You know, Mum, well, she can't see very well these days, so I've spent £20,000 buying the most gifted parrot money can buy, and I've had him trained to recite all her favourite songs and poetry. He's amazing." Well, after Christmas, the elderly lady wrote her thank you letters to her children. To the first son, she wrote, "Thank you so much for the house. Sadly, it's rather too large. I much prefer my small flat." To the second, she wrote, "Thank you for my car. Sadly, my failing eyesight means I can no longer drive." But to the third, she wrote as follows, "Dear Donald, thank you that you at least have the good sense to know exactly what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." Well, what chance have you finding the perfect present this Christmas? I don't know what you'd really like for Christmas this year, but I know there's one thing that we'd swap all of our presents to find, and that is a brighter tomorrow. A better world, not only for us, but for our children and our children's children to live in. We look at the news and read the papers, and we all say the same thing, don't we? We say, the world is not the way it should be. We see the troubles of the world, and we might put it down to intolerance and bigotry. We might even point the finger at religion. Some of us lay the blame at the door of our politicians and their failure to deliver on their promises. Others might think, well, the answer maybe lies in education that enables us to overcome our prejudices and fears. But I doubt any of us would say, in reply to the question, what is wrong with the world? Nothing. You see, what we all can see is that the injustice and violence, the oppression and intolerance, means that we don't just accept the world as it is. We long to see it changed. John Lennon called on us to imagine another world. He said it would be easy if we tried. And of course, his song steadfastly remains one of our nation's favourite songs. For in it, he captures that conviction that we were made for a better world than this one. But have you ever thought that it's a curious thing that we don't feel at home in this world? That we insist that life should somehow be different than it is. Christmas is a time for watching films, and maybe you remember that scene from the film The Matrix in which Morpheus says to Neo, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. It is the feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?" It's a curious thing, isn't it? That idea of a splinter in our minds, that aching, that longing for a perfect world, because, well, there's nothing in our experience of life that should lead us to suggest that it would be there. After all, if evolution describes who we are and why we're here, then isn't our world precisely as we should expect it? Maybe, like me, you've been gripped by Planet Earth 2. Did you watch in a kind of a morbid fascination as that poor little iguana ran for its life across the ground and up the rocks, desperately trying to escape the clutches of a multitude of snakes? David Attenborough showed us in high definition, didn't he, that nature is red in tooth and claw. And yet when it comes to human suffering, we react so differently. We don't just accept survival of the fittest. is just the way of the world. No, instead we're moved to tears by pictures of Aleppo and famine in the Yemen. Not just because it's ugly and brutal, but because we have a very strong sense that it's also wrong, unjust, and evil. A new iPad sounds like a great idea for Christmas, but what we really want for Christmas is a new world. And we're left asking, where does that sense of something being wrong with the world come from? Why is there that splinter in the mind? And the Christian answer is that our feeling that things should really be different, our sense that something has gone wrong, is not a delusion. Evolution isn't playing a trick on us. No, there is a reason that it's there, to point out to us the fact that we were not made for this world. Could it just be that there's another world, a perfect world? Just imagine it if you can. C.S. Lewis of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe fame was a university professor at Oxford who became a Christian at the age of 30, having been an atheist. And here is how he expressed where he sensed that sense of longing came from. He said, "Physical hunger does not prove that a man will get any bread. A man may die of starvation on a raft in the Atlantic. But surely a man's hunger does prove that he comes from a race which repairs its body by eating and inhabits a world where eatable substances exist. In the same way," he says, "though I do not believe, I wish I did, that my desire for paradise proves that I shall enjoy it, I think that it's a pretty good indication that such a place exists and that some men will." As one man has put it, we all have this idea that we were meant for happiness, that we were meant for peace, that we were meant for a life of joy, but that somehow this world has been taken from us. And that brings us to Christmas. For Christmas is that time, maybe just once a year, when even if only for a day, we do our best to try and live in a perfect world. We imagine it as we put on our best clothes, as we adopt our best behaviour, as we eat the best food, and as we watch the best TV. And Christmas is the closest we can get to imagining the world as it ought to be. And I want to suggest that it's good that we think that way at Christmas. For Christmas is actually God's way of telling us that the world we all want is in fact the world that he has promised. Maybe you could cast an eye back to that very first reading that we had from the prophet Isaiah and chapter 9 at the beginning of your booklet. And it begins by describing a world marked by violence as an oppression. It describes people walking in darkness. But there's hope, because into the darkness a light has dawned, a great light that verse 3 brings great joy, because verse 4, this light will bring an end to injustice. For a day is coming, says the prophet Isaiah, when that peace that we long for will be established. Not just a temporary truce in the trances of the First World, of the trenches of the First World War. No, verse 5, look, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be fuel for the fire. No longer needed, weapons handed over, stockpiled, destroyed. But how will peace come to our broken world? Well, the answer is there in verse 6 of that reading from Isaiah. And it's something of a surprise. Peace is going to come, verse 6, for to us a child is born, a son is given. God's answer to the problems of our world comes in the form of the birth of a baby. Now, in the normal course of things, the birth of a baby is nothing special in one sense. The story is told of a child who was given a school project. The responsibility, research your family tree. So he asks his father, "Dad, where did I come from?" And his dad, not quite ready to talk about the birds and the bees, says to him, "Well, the stork brought you." So the boy goes in search of his mother and says, "Mum, where did you come from?" And she rather sheepishly says, "Well, the stork brought me." And then finally, he turns to grandmother, who, sensing the mood in the room, answers in the same way, "The stork brought me as well." After which the boy goes to his room, gets his workbook out, and begins his homework with the following words: "There has not been a normal birth in our family for at least 3 generations. Well, let me assure you that apart from being born in Wales, there was nothing very remarkable about my birth. It was quite normal, and my mother, who's in this chapel this evening, if you want to fact check that. My birth is remembered maybe by a handful of people, might be remembered for 40 years and no more. 80 years from now, I will be completely forgotten. And yet here we are 2,000 years later, after the birth of Jesus, and we're still celebrating it. And it's because this child that was born was no ordinary child. Look at the titles that he's given in verse 6 of Isaiah. How extraordinary they are. Wonderful Counselor. It is God in the Bible who's described as magnificent in wisdom and wonderful in counselor. If the world is ever to be put right, it is going to require more wisdom than our politicians can muster. We will need someone with infinite wisdom. He won't just be a wonderful counselor, he's the everlasting Father. The baby to be born who will rule forever will rule not like a tyrant or a dictator, but like a father who knows our every need. He will be mighty God. This baby born into our world is the one who possesses all the power of God himself. The creator and sustainer of the universe will become a man, and he'll be the Prince of Peace, the one who brings an end to injustice and hatred. If the problems of our world are ever to be put right, 2,000 years and more of history tells us it's not going to be done by us. In fact, it will take nothing less than God entering our worlds to put things right. And the message of Christmas is that there is a reason why there is a splinter in your mind. There is a reason why you say there is something wrong with the world. And it is this, because what you are seeking is not just a perfect world, but a perfect person who can bring about a perfect world. And yet after Isaiah spoke these words, nothing happened. Not for hundreds of years, until a messenger from God appeared to a man named Joseph and said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. What the prophet had foretold was coming true. No wonder a multitude of angels on a hillside said, "Good news of great joy has come, for today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." 2,000 years on, we are celebrating the fact that God's answer to our problems was that he would step into human history. Well, has anything changed? Has this birth of a baby, who was the promise of God's perfect world, has he changed anything? Has Christmas really made any difference at all? And the answer is both yes and no. In one sense, it's a no, but pretty obviously. The world goes on much as it always has, and we live today in troubled times. But it's also a yes from God. Because as we read on in the life of Jesus, we discover God's promises beginning to unfold. Read the rest of the life of Jesus and you begin to see a glimpse of what our world will one day be. Here is a man who has power over disease. He can confront and overcome evil. He can even raise the dead. He puts an end to misery and pain in the lives of all of the people that he meets. Here is someone who has the power to deliver the world we all want. And his life is a snapshot of the world that he said he will one day establish. Because Jesus came and talked about his kingdom, that it was coming soon. A global kingdom in which justice and righteousness will triumph and the world will be at peace. A world in which he would even destroy death itself and rescue the creation. The world we all want will come, when Jesus comes again. And the proof of that fact lies as much in the events of Easter as it does in the events of Christmas. See, Jesus' death on a cross, those 30 years or so after his birth, makes it possible for me, a sinner, to be part of God's perfect world with sins forgiven. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead, never to die again, is God's confirmation that he really can overcome this world. The splinter in my mind is telling me that the solution to all that lies wrong with the world is in the world that God's King Jesus will bring about when he makes all things new. Well, where do we go from here apart from to mulled wine and mince pies? Well, I recognise that for many of us this evening may have raised more questions than it's provided answers. And in a number this size, it might be that we need some persuading that these claims of Christmas are worth further investigation. But can I ask you what hope for our world? Are we just going to dismiss from our minds that idea for a perfect world? Just put it down to wishful thinking? Or are we just open to the possibility that that splinter might be there for a reason? Maybe this is all worth a second look. I mean, imagine getting a letter from a bank saying that a wealthy person, unknown to you, had left you money. Even if you were a little bit suspicious and you had no real evidence to suggest that this could be true, all of the advice would say to you, this is worth taking a closer look. And we'd like you to help shape what that closer look could look like. So there's this little card inside the order of service this evening. You'll see there the picture of a telescope. Worth a second look. And the three Sundays in January, 8th, 15th and 22nd, we're going to look at some of the reasons why we might still need some persuading that this is worth our energy and time. And you can shape exactly what those three talks are going to look like by voting at the end of this evening as you leave through those doors. We're suggesting six possible reasons why Christianity may not seem all that important to you. And you can put your little coin, just like you get in the Waitrose supermarket if you get one, that little token in one of the boxes and votes for the reason why you're not sure Christianity is all that worth a second look. And the top three answers we're going to look at in our January services at City Church into the new year. Well, thank you for listening so well. It remains for me just to wish you a very happy and peaceful Christmas. And at this point, to hand back to our wonderful, wonderful gospel choir.